Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Looking at the doctrine of last things once again. And we didn't quite make it to the end of the book. Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8. And before we do that, let's see. Let's do our Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. So I'll say the reference then, if we can say the verse together and the reference. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Amen. Okay. All right. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Okay, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Well, last time we talked about the seal judgments, and the only one found worthy to open the book was the Lord Jesus Christ. Seal number one was war. Seal number two was civil unrest and murders. Seal 3 was famine. Seal 4 was death. Seal 5 was vengeance. Seal 6 was a great earthquake and wonders in the sky. Then we saw the opening of the seventh seal was just the opening of seven more judgments. And these are called the trumpet judgments. And so when we come here to chapter 8, the first thing we see here is when that seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven about the space of half of an hour. Now, you think back of all the judgments we saw that came down upon the earth, and then suddenly there is sudden silence for a half hour. Now, you know when you're in the woods and things are silent, there's danger. Because if there's not danger, the birds are chirping, the squirrels are running around, climbing up and down the trees, and you may even see a few deer wandering back and forth, maybe a few rabbits through there as well. But this, after just seeing what we've seen, all these seal judgments, it's kind of like if you're at Grand Rapids and the fireworks have been going off, you know, every so often, and suddenly there's silence. And what are you thinking? You're thinking, there's a grand finale coming. There's just something marvelous, powerful coming. Well, when people are going to experience this half hour, I think it's going to be great fear and anticipation of what is coming next. And so we get a little glimpse of that. In verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. Now remember, the tabernacle in the days of Moses was just an image, a model of the true tabernacle in heaven. If you hold your place here, notice with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 21. Hebrews 9:21. You may wonder sometimes, okay, what happens when I pray? Well, we're going to look at that tonight here. Hebrews 9:21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the what? The patterns of things where? In the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the what? Figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So all that Moses had made there was figures of the true tabernacle in heaven. Notice in Revelation 11:19. And the Bible says here, and the temple of God was opened where? In heaven. And there was seen in his temple the what? The ark of his testament. So people say, what happened to the ark during the Babylonian captivity? What happened to the ark of the covenant? Where is it? Well, some people think they know. Some people say it's in Africa somewhere. Some people say it's hidden below in the Temple Mount. But the true ark is in heaven, the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So everything that Moses made was just after the pattern of the true, that which is in heaven. So anyway, back to chapter 8, Revelation 8. What happens when we pray? What's the scene in heaven? Well, this gives us a glimpse of it. Revelation 8:3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all saints. Upon what? The golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, we don't have time to go back to all the verses and look at it, but remember, the golden altar was not the altar on which the animal sacrifices were placed. The golden altar was for the incense to be offered. That was gold-plated. The altar where the animal sacrifices were offered, that was brass-plated or bronze, brazen. That's called the brazen altar. The golden altar was the prayer, the incense. So, and that's where Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad, was praying, offering incense on the golden altar. And that's when the angel appeared to him and let them know they were going to have a baby boy and to call his name John. So when we pray, our prayers are going up before God. And this on this golden altar, the angel puts incense. In verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the what? Prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, what's the most pleasant fragrance you can think of? This time of year, a lot of baking going on, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Maybe you have a favorite fragrance. Well, when this angel offers this incense, it comes up with our prayers, and it's a well-pleasing smell to God as his saints offer up prayers. And you notice what the response is. You know, sometimes you may think, why doesn't God hear my prayers? Why doesn't God do something? Well, he's doing something. We just don't always know his timing. But notice what he does here. These prayers of the saints come up before him. So what does he do about it? Well, in verse 5, an angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it where? Into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. God was doing something. You may say, well, what were these saints praying? Well, we'll see in a few minutes here. But in the meantime, well, actually, let's go over there right now. Let's go to chapter 6, Revelation 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6:9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for what? The word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying what? How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and what? Avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth. That was their prayer. Lord, how long? How long are you going to let our murderers go on? Verse 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So more, there were going to be more martyrs. So if we go back in chapter 8, we see these prayers of the saints ascending up and the angel offering the incense, and the prayers and the incense go before God. And well, what's the command? Verse 5, this angel is commanded to take the fire from the altar, cast it into the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So here's the first trumpet judgment, number one. Trumpet judgment number one. It's hail and fire mingled with blood. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So in this plague, a third here of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up in this first judgment. You go right into the second trumpet judgment, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into a sea. Now, can you imagine what a tidal wave this would be? I have no idea the mass of this great mountain that God cast into the sea, but there would be a massive tidal wave from this. And as we read on here, then, and the third part of the sea became what? Blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So there's just massive destruction. And I was looking up sizes. The Pacific Ocean is about, it says 46.6% of the ocean. The Pacific is the largest ocean of all the oceans. And so it's 46.6%. So that'd be a little more than a third. The Atlantic Ocean is 23.5% of the ocean mass. So the Atlantic would be a little less than a third. 23.5%. The Indian Ocean is 19.8%. And then you have the Arctic and Antarctic. So if the Lord causes this mountain to fall into the Atlantic, then it's going to also affect some of the Indian Ocean. If God caused it to fall in the Pacific Ocean, it's going to affect almost all of the Pacific Ocean. So like, can you imagine all the shipping going on in the Pacific Ocean back and forth between China, the Philippines, Japan? A third of the ships of the world are going to be destroyed. A third of the animal life in the ocean is going to be destroyed. It's going to be massive destruction, just massive. And it doesn't even tell us here what the effects will be to land masses that border whatever ocean it is that God causes us to fall into. But just, I mean, they've talked about just meteorites hitting oceans before, or land masses. I think it's in Arizona. I think there's like a mile, there's a crater like a mile across, and there's larger ones than that, I believe, in some of the Great Lakes that they've been able to see now and map out. So just a tremendous, massive blow to the earth this is going to be. That's trumpet judgment number two. Trumpet judgment number three is in verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell what? A great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So This star that falls evidently is going to break up and just like scatter. And so a third part, once again, a third of rivers and fountains of water. So in this instance, you know, the last one, the great mountain is going to fall into the oceans. But this one is going to affect the fresh water. We're talking rivers, fountains of waters. So many people are going to die because of this plague. And then we get into trumpet judgment number 4, verse 12. Trumpet judgment number 4. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of what? The sun was smitten, and the third part of what? The moon, and the third part of what? Stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So you notice all this thirds. You know, a third of the trees are burnt. A third of ocean life perishes. A third of all the ships in the ocean are destroyed. A third of the fresh water is made poisonous to man. Now a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars are darkened. So there are going to be some times during the 24 hours here where everything is shortened. The daylight's going to be shortened. And, you know, I don't know exactly what is going to take place during that time. That is to cause it. I'm not sure. But a third of the day, third of the night, third of the sun is not going to shine, third of the moon, third of the star. So, well, that's number 4, the sun, moon, and star smitten. And now comes a chilling warning, verse 13, Revelation 8:13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound." Now, can you imagine? This chapter started out in verse 1 with what? Silence. Total silence for a half hour. You could hear a pin drop. And the chapter ends with what? This chilling warning of an angel flying through the sky saying, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets that are of the three angels yet to sound." So you talk about terrifying. It's going to be terrifying. Well, so in chapter 9, we get right into it. The fifth trumpet judgment sounds. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke, what? Locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as what? Scorpions of the earth have power. Has anyone ever been stung by a scorpion? Here. No one here. Okay. I hear it's painful, but I guess I don't know anyone personally that's been got by one. But anyway, that's the power these locusts are going to have. It's like a scorpion's sting. Verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now remember, that's normally what locusts hurt, don't they? They eat up everything green. Like in Egypt, eat all the green grass, all the leaves off the trees. But this time, they're not going to eat any green thing, neither any tree, but only those what? Men which have not the seal of who? God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall what? Not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So this torment for 5 months, these creatures are going to torment man, sting them like a scorpion, and it's going to be so bad people are going to seek death, and they are not going to find it. God's not going to allow them to die during that time. Interesting, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of what? Men. And they had hair as the hair of who? Women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So interestingly, it's described as a man's face, but a woman's hair. Isn't it sad? My wife and I were at a store, and she said to me, she says, look at that man. He had just a mohawk up here, just a shock of hair on the top of his head. The rest of his head was shaved in back and on the sides. And it was like mostly tattoo. Sides and the back was just mostly, his head was just tattooed. I think even his face was tattooed, wasn't it? I believe so. Even his face was tattooed. And you know what was even more sad than seeing that man? There was a little boy following him. Isn't that sad? He has just disfigured his body. And here there's this little boy that's trailing along behind him. How sad. And you think about people here, and we're going to see in a few moments that despite all these things, they will not repent. It's just amazing. So this plague goes on for 5 months. And then trumpet judgment number 6 is in chapter 9, verse 13. Chapter 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So what is the golden altar? Okay, where the incense is offered, the incense altar, where prayer is offered. And saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Right now, somewhere in the Euphrates River, there are four angels that are bound. And at this point, they're going to be loosed. He said, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Notice how many thirds there are here. Third part of the trees destroyed. Third part of the animal life in the sea. Third of the ships. Third of the fresh water. Now a third of man dies by the hand of these four angels. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. So we're looking at 200 million. 200 million in this army. And thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Now picture that. Picture a horse body with a lion's head. And out of their mouths issued what? Fire and smoke and brimstone. So this was an attribute of some dinosaurs, dragons. The Bible calls them dragons. That are now extinct as far as we know, but we know there were, and we read about it in the book of Job, sparks would go out of their mouth, fire would be kindled. So it's like a horse body, a lion's head, but fire comes out, fire and smoke comes out of their mouths. Verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of what? The mouth. Now imagine, you have an army of 200 million, and imagine all of these horse-like creatures, but lion heads, issuing fire and smoke and brimstone out of their mouths, killing a third part of man on earth. But that's not all they do. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in what? Their tails. For their tails were like unto what? Serpents and had heads. And with them they do hurt. You know, man comes up with all kinds of scary things. I don't know why anyone likes what they call horror movies, just scary things like that. But I tell you, this world hasn't seen anything until the tribulation period. Can you imagine 200 million of these creatures running around, looking a lion's head on a horse body, issuing fire and brimstone and smoke out of their mouths, scorching, killing people. And if that wasn't enough, their tails are like serpents. They even have the serpent head and bite people. But notice what's so amazing is verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So despite knowing the true and the living God is casting all these things down upon earth, they still are worshiping their idols. But notice yet, verse 21, neither what? Repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, if you had 200 million of these creatures running around roasting people with fire, killing them and biting them, and you had these other creatures like with a scorpion sting, and wouldn't you think any sane person would fall down on their knees before the holy God and cry out for forgiveness? But isn't it amazing, verse 20 and 21? They will not repent. It only seems to harden them in their sin. Well, trumpet judgment number 7, what's that? Well, here we go again. The seal of judgment number 7, when it was open, just introduced 7 more judgments, trumpet judgments. Well, now we get to the 7th trumpet judgment, and now we have a surprising end too. Verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to what? To write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? Seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. Have you ever read a book and you got to the end of a chapter and it left you hanging? And so you just had to start reading the next chapter? You thought, I can't stop here. It's right in the middle of this mystery. I'm just going to read a page or two of the next chapter. Have you ever done that? And then you read on and then you get to the end of that chapter, and you think, I've got to quit. And then they do the same thing. And so that's one of those type of books, you know, you end up staying up half the night reading just because you just can't put it down. Well, here, the Lord does the same thing. He tells John to seal up the writing. We do not know what trumpet judgment number 7 encompasses, because God would not let John write it down. He told him to seal up the book. You know, that's very similar to what we see in the book of Daniel, Daniel 12. When it came right down to the end, God told Daniel to seal up these things. Daniel 12, verse 6. Daniel 12, verse 6. The Bible says, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, what? Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are what? Closed up and what? Sealed till the time of the end. So God did the same thing. Well, with the book of Revelation now, what Daniel couldn't write, God reveals. He unseals. But the same thing happens back in Revelation 10. Revelation 10 and verse 4. God does the same thing again. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. An angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be what? Time no longer. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, who? The prophets. You know what that means? That means we're left kind of hanging, just like the disciples were. They just didn't understand all of the prophecies in Luke 24 when the two men are on the Emmaus Road and they're walking along sad, and then Jesus comes up and talks to them, asks them, you know, what they're talking about. And so, you know, they tell him, well, you know, are you a stranger here? You know, and they begin to tell him all these things. And Jesus said, you know, O fools and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, what is it? The Bible tells us right here in verse 7 that whatever happens, whatever that seal, this last trumpet judgment is, it's prophesied in the Bible. But what is it? Well, that's the mystery. We don't know. But when we find out someday, then we'll see, oh yeah, I see it now. It was prophesied all along. Well, that's the mystery of God, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And it will finally be finished in that day. So, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, let's go to the last book, or the last chapter of Revelation. Chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and who? Bride. Who is the bride? That's us. It's church. We're the bride. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that is athirst what? Come. And who? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So that's what I know. If you like mysteries, you say, I'm going to figure this out. The Bible said, whatever those seven thunders utter, the prophecy is already in the Scripture. I'm going to find out what that is. Okay, well, search the Scriptures. Go for it. But in the meantime, we're not supposed to be spending all of our time just trying to find out what the seven thunders uttered. What we're to be doing is verse 17. We're the bride. We're to be telling others, come, come. Because if they don't come, there is a horrible, horrible, horrible tribulation period coming on this earth that's more scary than any nightmare anyone has ever had. So let's ask the Lord to help us to be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us. We, Lord, are standing in the breach for our loved ones, friends, our neighbors, asking, Lord, please spare them. Please don't let them perish. Lord, you said that if Sodom would have seen what Capernaum saw. Sodom would have remained. It would not have been judged. And we know thereby, Lord, that you know what our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors would have to see of your power and glory to repent and turn to you. So, Lord, we plead with you, please. Please, Lord, work in their hearts, lest they perish. Please help us, Lord, to be faithful, giving out that invitation to come. Come, whosoever will, let them take the water of life freely. Father, if there should be any here tonight that have never yet been saved, help them to realize tonight that they need to repent of their sin. Help them to realize these people that were so tortured in the tribulation period will still not repent. Help them, Lord, to realize your goodness in their lives and to receive Christ, the precious and pure Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, who came to this earth to live a perfect, holy, sinless life and to die in our place, bearing the death that we deserved on the cross, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood is enough to wash away our sin. Father, please work in our hearts in Jesus' name.